This morning, I want to begin by telling you about a woman by the name of Sarah Hale. Sarah Hale was an amazing woman. She was widowed at the age of 34. She had five children. She started a magazine. She wrote over 30 books in her life, and she was basically responsible for Thanksgiving being our national holiday. But one of the most notable accomplishments of her life was a poem that she published in the year 1823. It was about a young girl named Mary and her little lamb. Now let me tell you the story. Mary Hale was a school teacher near Boston in the year 1814, and one of her students was named Mary Shaw. One day, Mary Shaw decided to go out to the old barn. She was only 8 years old, and she found a newborn lamb in that cold barn that day. And for some reason, the lamb's mom had left the lamb alone, so Mary took the lamb and she decided that she would take it as her own to keep it warm. Well, that lamb became Mary's pet, and they were inseparable. Well, one day, the lamb, as you probably already know, followed her to school one day, and she hid that lamb under a blanket. When it was time for Mary to stand and recite her assignment, the lamb emerged, and all the children, what'd they do? They laughed and played, right? But Sarah Hale put the lamb outside. When school was dismissed, the lamb was waiting for Mary, and because of that, her teacher, Sarah Hale, was inspired to write a little poem that we all know. Mary had a little lamb. Its fleece was white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. Now, everyone knows that part, right? We all know it by memory. But I don't know if you know all the verses, so let me just share the entire poem with you. You probably know the second one. It followed her to school one day, which was against the rule. It made the children laugh and play to see a lamb at school. And so the teacher turned it out, but still it lingered near and waited patiently about till Mary did appear. And then it ran to her and laid its head upon her arm, as if to say, "I'm not afraid, you'll keep me from all harm. What makes the lamb love Mary so?" the eager children cry. "Oh, Mary loves the lamb, you know," the teacher did reply. "And you each gentle animal in confidence may bind, and make them follow at your will if you are only kind." Today I am titling the message, as you saw maybe in your worship guide and hopefully on the screens, you'll see that I'm titling this message that Mary had a little lamb. But I want to tell you, my heart today is not so much to talk about Mary, but to talk about the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Today, Steve has already given you a little hint that I'm going to be preaching again today based on God's leading in my heart upon the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And we've reminded ourselves over these many weeks with several interruptions that many times in today's pulpit, I'm convinced that preachers are losing the heart of the gospel by not preaching on the shed blood of Jesus. And therefore, we are missing it, friend, as the church, because the heart of the gospel is the shed blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible says without the blood of Jesus, there would be no remission of sins, no forgiveness of sins. And so I stand here today to say that we cannot be so dignified that we should not still preach and teach about the shed blood of Christ. It's not a gory story, folks. It is the glory story that God gave His Son for us. And this is not slaughterhouse religion, as some theologians have been prone to say in recent years. Friend, this is the heart of what every pulpit ought to be proclaiming in the world today. And so the title of the message is, Mary did indeed have a little lamb, and His name was Jesus, and He shed His blood, and He died on a cross so that we might be forgiven of sin. So with apologies to Sarah Hale, I would like to offer you another version of that famous poem, Mary Had a Little Lamb. See if you like this one. Mary had a little lamb. He was born on Christmas Day. She laid him in a manger bed to sleep upon the hay. Angels filled the nighttime sky, and they began to sing. Shepherds heard them all proclaim the birthday of a king. Wise men saw a blazing star up in the sky that night. They followed it until they found the King of love and light. Mary had a little lamb, but he wasn't hers, you know. He was the very Son of God, the one who loves us so. The Father of this little lamb loved the world so much that he sent his only Son to earth so we could feel his touch. He came to give us joy and peace and take away our sin. So when he knocks on your heart's door, be sure to let him in. Why do I love this precious lamb? What can the reason be? The answer is quite plain to see. It's because he first loved me. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Today, folks, our scripture focuses on Mary's little lamb, Jesus Christ. I want you to take your Bible. Kimmy, I'm going to take my Bible. And let's stand together as we read 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 through 20. Let's stand in the honor of the reading of God's Word. Today, focusing on Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, and His shed blood, I want us to listen carefully to what the Apostle Peter wrote to the churches in the New Testament world, beginning in verse 18. For you know, Peter writes, that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Today, before you sit down, let's pray together. Almighty God, today we pray that you would help us to hear with not just our ears, but with our hearts. And help us to know and learn and remember today that Jesus shed his blood for us. We pray this in your name. Amen. Be seated. Today, church family, I want to consider two important truths about the Lamb. And the first point, let's get right to it, is this, that Jesus was a special Lamb. If you're taking notes today on the back of your worship guide, we're going to begin right there, that Jesus was a special Lamb. And when I say the word special, I mean really special. Jesus was different than anyone else who ever walked on planet Earth. You see, history is filled with religious teachers who would have an impact on their generation, and we can march through some of these type folks. There are thousands of Buddhists who try to follow the words of Buddha. There are millions of Muslims who are devoted to following the teachings of Muhammad. There are several million Mormons who have been falsely convinced that Joseph Smith was a true prophet of God. But friend, today we declare that Jesus was so much more than any of those religious teachers. You see, Jesus was the only man who was ever called, and we've already talked about it, the Lamb of God. Today, I could stand before you and list so many different characteristics that lay out this point, but today I want to focus on three elements that make Jesus deeply unique from anybody else who has ever appeared in history. Let's start here. Jesus had a unique conception. He was born of a virgin. I was talking to some of our students even this last weekend on Disciple Now, and there was some students who were concerned and maybe even confused about this idea that Jesus was born of a virgin. Let's talk about this today. Some postmodern Christians suggest the doctrine of the virgin birth isn't important anymore, and I'm going to tell you that's insanity. That's sheer craziness. The fact that Jesus was born of a virgin sets him apart from every other person who has ever breathed air surrounding our planet. You see, 750 years before it ever happened, the prophet Isaiah predicted it all with these words. He said, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Listen to this. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Folks, that's the exact verse the angel quoted to Joseph to explain why Mary was pregnant, right? You see, that's important. It's important to say that Mary was a virgin because in Bible times, an unmarried woman cherished her virginity. It was extremely rare if a bride was not a virgin. Now, let's take a side note for a second. Sadly, in our culture, that's no longer the trend, okay? Today, we're told that unmarried virgins are rare. But I want you to listen to me, all right? This is going to be for free. Rare things are valuable. All right? So young ladies, if you've never been married, the greatest gift you can give your husband is your virginity. You give that to him on the night of your marriage. The greatest gift you can give. Now I want to show you a painting. Let's go to this incredible painting by the Spanish artist Esteban Murillo. I'm showing the painting to you this morning. The name of the painting is The Annunciation. And you can see in this painting that Gabriel is appearing before Mary to announce that she's been chosen by God to bear a son. And if you'll look right in the middle of the painting, you'll see that there's a dove. That's symbolizing the presence of God's Holy Spirit. And you can almost hear the words in the painting, the words of Gabriel, who's saying, "The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." And sweet Mary says, not fully understanding all that that means, she says, "May it be to me as you have said." You see, as you look at the painting and you remember the story, you get the explanation of God's divine arrangement. And because of that, Jesus was the only person, friend, the only person with an earthly mother, yet no earthly father. Jesus was the only person that was born with a human nature and a divine nature. It makes him deeply unique. Nobody else had such a unique conception. Jesus was born of a virgin. Let's talk about the second thing that makes Jesus different than anybody else. Second, he possessed a unique character. In other words, he was without blemish. Here's how Peter shares it in our text for today. He says that Jesus was a lamb without blemish or defect. Let me ask you this morning, how important were lambs in the time of Jesus? They were really important. In the life of the Jews, in the biblical context, lambs were very important. They used their wool for clothing. They ate them for food. During Christ's lifetime, there were tens of thousands of lambs being tended to by thousands of shepherds. And for those of us who have been to the Holy Land between Jerusalem and Jericho, you can actually still look out and see shepherds tending sheep. It's really incredible. But in the time of Christ, lambs were used in the Jewish sacrificial system as well. And we know this, if we've studied the Bible at all, that lambs were used as sin offerings. And we learn, even back in Leviticus, that a sacrificial lamb had to be a male lamb, number one. It had to be 1 year old, in other words, in the prime of its life, and it could not have any defects. Now, fast forward to Jesus. I already told you that Jesus was known as what? The Lamb of God. You see, Christ Jesus fulfilled all of those requirements. Jesus was a male, yes. He died at the age of 33. Many would say that was the prime of his life. And some consider, and all know from Scripture, the third requirement was that Jesus was morally pure. There was no spot in Jesus. There was no blemish in Jesus. There was no defect in his character. In other words, let's just say it, Christ was sinless. I think that's amazing, don't you? Can you imagine lasting one day without committing a sin? And I think that's why the Bible is so remarkable, because we read of all of the saints of the faith, all of our ancestors in this pursuit of following God, and we see the Bible never tries to cover up their mistakes or their sins. Just think about it with me. Noah was a great man, but he got drunk and laid around naked. Go read about it. Abraham was a great man, but in Egypt he lied and said Sarah, his wife, was only his sister. Jacob was a man of faith, but he had a history of dirty deals, right? Moses did some incredible things, but he also murdered a man. King David, the one known as a man after God's own heart, committed adultery and murder. And even the big fisherman, Peter, who wrote our text today, he denied Christ three times and he cursed in front of a young girl. I mean, the Bible says it all. But when it gets to Jesus, knowing the Bible's pattern, it tells us that Christ was totally different. You see, Jesus was not just one more fallen man in a long line of fallen men. No, here's what the Bible says about Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, it says, "We have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he was without sin." There's a lot of people that we come across in the world today. They wonder if they can relate to Jesus Christ. And maybe they wonder even more if Jesus Christ can relate to them. Let me say this to you. He can relate to you. To those of you who struggle with alcohol and drugs, guess what? Jesus felt the same temptation to abuse his body. To those of you who struggle with the grip of pornography, guess what? Jesus faced the same temptation of lust. For those of you who are tempted to cheat on your taxes, Jesus faced the same temptation. For those of you who are a person who sometimes has a feeling of hate towards somebody else of a different skin color, Jesus faced it too. To those of you who are tempted to worry, yes, Jesus faced it. To those of you who deal with anger issues, yes, Jesus dealt with it. Friend, the Bible says he faced every sin you'll ever imagine, even the ones you cannot even imagine, and yet he never sinned. For me, as much as anything else, that makes Jesus God. Deeply unique. Born of a virgin, nobody else can say that. Without sin, nobody else can say that. Let me give you the third idea. Jesus also made a unique claim. Unbelievable. He said he was pre-existent. That's exactly what Peter says about him in our text. Peter writes that Mary's little lamb, Jesus, was chosen before the foundations of the world. Pastor, what does that mean? Well, let me put it in this context. If I came to you and I said, hey, tell me about your day. You could tell me about your day. And if I said, well, tell me about your life last year. You could probably rattle that off. But what if I said, tell me about your life 1,000 years ago? Well, you probably wouldn't have much to offer. What if I said, tell me about your life 10,000 years ago? You would be silent. Not so with Jesus. Jesus is pre-existent. How do I know that? Let me take you back to an episode in Christ's life. Remember the day that Jesus was in the temple debating with the religious experts, and here's what Christ said. He said, your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it, and he was glad. And the Jewish leaders exploded. Right? Spontaneous combustion of emotion. They said, you aren't even 50 years old and you have seen Abraham. And here's what Christ said. If it wasn't bad enough already, he said, I tell you the truth, before Abraham was born, I am. Don't miss that. Jesus chose the eternal divine name that God gave himself, the great I am. Before Abraham was born, I am. And the Jews understood exactly what he was saying, and they picked up stones on the spot to kill him right there. Friend, Jesus was totally unique. He claimed to have been alive with the Father from the beginning of the beginning. Can anyone else claim that? I submit to you, not a soul. Jesus was the special lamb, born of a virgin, without sin, pre-existent. Let's move to the second idea, though. He was the special lamb, but here's the real heart of this message. Jesus is the saving lamb. Jesus is the saving lamb. And I'm making that point in the present tense for a reason, because Jesus is so much more than some historical character who has died and just is remembered. Friend, can I say this to you if you don't know this? Jesus Christ, alive today. Jesus Christ, alive today. Buddha, dead today. Muhammad, dead today. Jesus Christ, alive today. You see, he's not just some notable religious teacher who left a body of teachings for us to study. No, Jesus came to die, and from the start of his ministry, he understood he was to be the Lamb of God who would give his life for our sins. Remember what John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So let me give you two things today that Peter mentions in this passage that clarify for us that Jesus indeed is the saving Lamb. And the first one, it's my favorite because it focuses on the blood. Write this down for yourself. He redeems you with his precious blood. You see, we can't preach the gospel without mentioning the word blood. We can't talk about salvation without mentioning the word blood. How dare a pastor and a preacher ever get on TV and rattle on about a good life here and now without mentioning the blood of Jesus Christ? He redeems you with his precious blood. Look at what Peter wrote. It was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Look at the most important verb in the whole sentence. He redeemed us. What's that word mean? Here it is, simple. He purchased us back. Did you know that that was a term that was used in the slave trade? He purchased us back. Jesus bought us, not with gold, not with silver, but with his shed precious blood. Now let me ask you this question. You ought to know the answer because I talked about it recently. When was the first time that blood was shed in the Bible? Do you know the answer? It doesn't specifically say it, but it's in the Garden of Eden. You see, Adam and Eve sinned against God, didn't they? They disobeyed God, and as a result, they were ashamed, and they tried to cover themselves with fig leaves. It wasn't successful, so they went and hid, and eventually God does what? He makes garments for them. Where do you think those garments came from? Well, God killed an animal or two, and he made those garments out of that hide or fur. And the Bible doesn't tell us what kind of animal skin it was, but don't be surprised someday when you get to heaven and find out that it was a lamb that God killed. Why do I say that? It makes sense because, friend, God is consistent. You see, it's the precious lamb of God, the blood of that lamb, which covers and cleanses our sin. And if you don't think blood is valuable, let me just say this, try living without it, right? Blood's necessary for life. That's why we have blood drives. It's keenly important for many who find themselves in an emergency situation. And I want to say this to you. I think it may be the most important thing I'm going to say today. When we get to heaven, we're not going to rejoice over the teachings of Jesus. We're not going to rejoice over the miracles of Jesus. No, we're going to worship him because he shed his precious blood to purchase our salvation. That's what's going to happen in heaven. Friend, Christ redeems you with his precious blood if you'll just receive it and accept it. Let me give you the second thing that Peter offers. He not only redeems you with his precious blood, no, he rescues you from your painful past. I love what Peter says in verse 18. He says that we have been redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to us from our forefathers. Did you know this? Before you were redeemed, your life was empty. Your calendar may have been full, but your life is empty, right? The Lamb of God shed his blood so you can experience a life of fullness and joy. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Let me tell you this amazing story. One Sunday morning, a great pastor by the name of Dr. A.J. Gordon surprised his Boston church by setting an old rusty birdcage on the pulpit. Birdcage was empty, the door of it was open, and Dr. Gordon began to tell this tale about meeting this dirty-faced little boy the day before. The boy was holding that exact birdcage containing several frightened sparrows that he had trapped. And he asked the boy that day, he said, what are you going to do with those birds? And the boy said, oh, I just like playing with them. I like poking them with sticks and watching them fly all around the cage. And Dr. Gordon said, no, but what are you going to eventually do with them? And the boy said, oh, I don't know. I'll probably just kill them. And then the pastor surprised him. He said, would you like to sell them? Sell them? Nobody wants to buy these old birds. They're just field sparrows, he said. He said, well, I'll tell you what. I'll offer you $5 for your birds. $5? Are you sure, mister? $5? For that price, you can have the cage too. So Dr. Gordon bought an old rusty birdcage and some old field sparrows for $5. And as soon as the boy went off whistling and laughing about his windfall, Dr. Gordon set the birdcage down. And what did he do? Well, he opened that door. At the beginning, the birds just stayed right there in the bottom, somewhat frightened. And then he rattled that cage a little bit. And one by one, they went to the perch and they looked around for a moment, not believing their good fortune. And they spread their wings and they flew away. And Dr. Gordon told his congregation that day that those birds left and they circled and they began to chirp. And he said it was almost as if they were singing out, "Redeemed, redeemed, rescued and redeemed." Can I connect the dots for us? Did you know the devil has similar plans for your life? He had similar plans for all of the fallen race of sinners like you and me. He wanted to cage us, destroy us, but Jesus came along and he offered to redeem us from the curse of sin. And Jesus understood that all the gold in the world and all the silver in the world would never pay the price, so he offered the silver of his tears and the gold of his precious blood. You see, Jesus Christ has purchased you, redeemed. And then he opens the door of your future. And he gives you wings of faith so you can fly. And now for those of us who have been saved, we easily sing and say, "Redeemed, redeemed, and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child, and forever I am." Friend, Jesus is the saving Lamb. He redeems you with his precious blood and he rescues you from your painful past, if only you'll let him. Let's close the message this way. Will you go back 2 months with me to Christmas Day? It's almost 2 months to the day. Today's February the 24th. And I want you to go with me back to Christmas Day and I want to talk to you about Christmas trees. Kind of odd, I understand. But I want you to think about this and I want to do an unofficial survey, all right? Would everybody join me in my survey as we finish up today? Here's what we're going to do. If you had an artificial tree in your house this year, raise your hand. Artificial trees. All right, the majority. All right, put your hands down. How many of you had a live tree in your house this year? Keep your hands up real high. I want to see them. Really? Was it really alive? Right? What did it have roots that were growing down into the dirt right there in your living room? I set you up, I'm sorry. Let me say this to you. Most live trees, really not live at all, right? They've been cut down right there at the ground, right there in the trunk. And they look alive, don't they? Sometimes they even look better than a live tree with all those special decorations, but they won't last long because we all understand they are really dead. Pastor, are you one of those tree huggers? No, not at all. But there's a powerful point as we close if you'll pay attention. Listen to this. People are like Christmas trees. And some in this very room today are just like the second tree. They look pretty good on the outside. Their lives are adorned with all kinds of trappings and decorations like education and money and status and awards and human accomplishments. They look fantastic, but sadly, when you take away all the outer decoration, they're not connected to the source of life that is the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. So what do you do with an old Christmas tree that was once living? What do you do with it? Eventually you throw it out, don't you? And the same thing's going to happen to people who reject Jesus Christ. Four questions to close. Which one of those trees represents your life? Are you dead today spiritually or are you alive? Will you trust your present and your future to Jesus, Mary's little lamb? And will you let his shed blood cover you and rescue you? Today you can choose Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray?